The BBC Home Service. We present Dot by Ed Harris.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing.
Oh, but please, Dottie.
Although I'm touched with a speculative tinge of sympathy for you, Peg, I'm not about to make a complete about turn for the sake of your social arrangements. You're doing the graveyard shift.
But, Dottie, tonight is all that's seen me through the past month. The blitz, the terror, those really long meetings when someone asks a question right at the end. I even shaved my legs for tonight.
Above
the knee, Dottie.
Well, still no.
Oh, but I promised Elsie and Rita from the typing pool. You could come too.
It's too late for invites now. Besides, me, at a Vera Lynn concert, pushed and shoved by a sea of gangly, cow-limbed teenage girls, the air a thick green paste of hormones and chip vinegar, and Vera, a pinprick on stage, strutting about wobbling in her undergarments.
She wears clothes, Dottie.
Barely. How would you feel if I pranced about the office with my top button undone and my clavicle hanging out everywhere?
Well, you do look slightly alike, Dottie.
Like Vera Lynn? What vitriolic, pugnacious rot.
A little bit around the face.
I certainly do not. You'll do the graveyard shift all this week, Peg.
Oh, please. Have Myrtle cover the late shift.
Myrtle went home at lunch with a tummy. I'm not dragging the office goblin and a volatile gutload of her new bacterial chums back here to sit in the damp by the radiator and fester overnight. What if they should multiply and we end up with a new species? Who'd cover the admin for that? No, you're staying right there to protect mankind.
Oh, but...
Don't just sit there staring at me with a face like a dirty protest. Do some work. Good night.
Ah, Millicent Hillary Jones. Pleasant evening. And you in your mink collar. Has one planned?
Some of the girls from operations are off to the Albert Hall tonight, one of those popular music events.
Vera Lynn?
Oh, Lord knows. Take your pick. Some vacuous strumpet crooning her fetid moonstruck cliches at a room full of drunk children.
Yet you're joining them.
Oh, the secret ingredient to success is...
Discipline.
Morale.
Morale, quite. Mm.
And London's taken such a frightful pounding these past few weeks. Morale can certainly do with a boost. Mine included. After you. So, how are you besting Vera Lynn, Dorothy? Another rip-roaring night, staying in, listening to the water bang through the pipes?
Not only do my pipes make for a more melodious forces sweetheart, Millicent, they also deliver on a more captivating between-song banter.
Oh, you're such a contrarian. Anything for you but organized fun, eh, old Vic?
Groover, groover!
Ah, yes, see you there, Officer Background. Well, this has been distracting, old girl, but I must be off. I've had a colossal pig of a day.
Oh?
Inexplicably, Anthony Eden summoned me to Checkers, only to telephone me from the war rooms once I got there to reprimand me for not being at my desk.
How extraordinary.
Utterly extraordinary. Man's usually a brick. Peabody most violently dischuffed. Slap on the wrist for Millicent. Still, I shouldn't bang on. You'll only find it amusing.
No, not at all, Millicent.
Oh, it's Millicent! Don't go anywhere!
I thought I told you to stay at your desk.
The PM, the Prime Actual Minister's Secretary, on the telephone.
Now?
Just now. I spoke to him. Can either of you speak French?
Naturally.
Supernaturally. Supernaturalement.
He's addressing the French resistance on the overseas service and wants to insert a few splashes of Francais for colour.
Where, Peg?
Bush House in 40 minutes.
Gosh, that's tight. But I suppose... Oh, hell. She's gone already.
Right then. Bye.
I don't know why you immediately assume you're the right woman for the job.
I once heard you try to find your way through a sentence in French, Dorothy. It was like you were being strangled from the inside.
Utter elitism. You're simply putting yourself first because you think you'll make the history books. You're like so transparent, Millie, it's totes form. Gosh, you move fast.
You won't keep up. My bicycle is around the...
Hey! I'm walking here. Goodness, that's rotten timing.
Not at all. It's merely the first siren. Winnie and I will be mopping up reflexive pronouns by the time the Bosch bus dozily over Canterbury.
Good God, Millie, take cover!
Primordial toilet water, Dorothy. Will you stop pushing me around?
Just follow the stairs and don't tread on anyone, Millicent.
Oh, what was that?
I believe it was the
all. Keep heading down.
Where are we? What are those hideous, slithering mounds of clothes?
All these mounds of clothing are the proletariat, old girl. No sudden moves. I believe their vision is based on movement.
Oh. I say, warden!
Hello?
I need to go back. I have to be above ground.
Not a chance. The ticket hall's in bits, and there's no other way out. You'll have to wait for them to clear the debris.
Honestly, I'm nimble as a mountain goat. I could...
You girls find yourself a nice spot and sit tight till I give the all clear.
You seem like a decent chap. My colleague and I are from the war rooms.
Oh, I'd love to help, love. Honestly.
I'll be terribly quick.
Well, this is the problem, see?
Forget that beastly man, Millicent. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. But apparently some men will do it for a tin hat and a strange odour.
Come again, lady.
How much do they pay trolls to protect bridges these days?
Sod off, the no. pair of you.
Oh, ignore her. I'm sorry, warden.
Dorothy, you foaming idiot. He was about to let me out.
You'll learn, old brick. These underground dwelling troglodytes don't do anything without one signing away their firstborn or spinning flax into eels. I did you a favour, old girl.
Then we must find another way out at once.
Welcome to Hotel de Fagin. All the latest in intercontinental neo-Dickensian conveniences. As you see, the gate and troll at one end, and a long platform which constitutes a communal bedding and germ incubating zone. Not forgetting the local colour. Golly, that's my purse. Come back here, you grotty little arse goblin.
Dotty.
Oh, don't talk to my girl, Alice.
She took my purse.
No, it didn't.
I'm a military officer, you know. I thought you wanted important types gliding down to the underground.
Dotty, please.
No, Millie, I've got this. Apparently, this is what Prime Minister Churchill himself did in his darkest hour. Came down to your grubby netherworld to ask your opinions on warfare and engaging with you on your own mucky plebeian terms.
That's some pretty laboured propaganda you've been watching, lady.
The relationship between Churchill and the lower class electorate is famously ambivalent, if not outright antipathetic.
Exactly. No, it's not actually, because he's a great big dreamboat and you're just Yuckaroo nobody.
Dorothy, please.
Hopefully that quelled the burgeoning Bolshevism on the opposite platform, old girl. Millicent, why's your face like that, Millicent? You've got a little twitch. There in your eyelid. Gosh, is that Morse code? Beep, beep, dot, dash.
Don't shut up!
That little girl was picking on me.
There are much more pressing concerns.
That's easy for you to say. She didn't steal your... Oh, here it is. Gosh, don't you hate that? It was in the other pocket. It's just one's never sure when they get too close, you know?
Dotty.
Yes, old girl?
Little order.
Oh?
I don't require an up-to-the-minute ticker tape rundown of all the incessant hooting and braying noises of your psyche.
Sorry. When it comes to conflict, I'm very easily led.
Indeed.
Very easily, to the point of, on occasion, actually leading the whole unfortunate fiasco.
Please, Dorothy, I made a needless 80-mile round trip today, and now there's only 29 minutes to reach the PM.
I notice that air raid warden lets himself in and out of the gate.
He does?
Yes, he keeps waddling out and waddling back in again.
He looks ashen.
Incidentally, you haven't said thank you.
For what?
I saved your life.
You dragged me bodily into the one building that was hit.
Well, there was a lot to take in. I was flummoxed.
Oh, perhaps you preferred to scupper both our chances rather than have me outshine you.
There's no need to be beastly.
Well, look, the air raid warden can't keep us here against our will. I recommend we decide who is to go between you and I.
Why can't we both go?
Because last time I looked, the sky was being painted over in a whimsical shade of Luftwaffe green. There's no reason risking both our lives for the sake of your ego.
My ego?
It's galling enough just knowing you think you earn the right to an opinion on this, let alone that your opinion is that you are the better candidate.
Of course I'm the better candidate.
And this is based on what evidence? The fact your brain thought it or your mouth said it.
No need to be cruel.
Very well. You think you've a place in this race? Shall we each present our case to the other?
A jolly good. Cerebral jousting. I shall go first. No. You. You go first.
I'm an excellent French speaker. I was top in my class at school.
Oh, yeah? Where was that? St. Clever Clog's bummy... Bummy bumheads of the Cotswolds.
Lycée Louis Le Grand of Paris. I also spent 3 years working for my uncle at L'Hôtel de Ville there in a senior role.
Swilling out chamber pots for holidaymakers doesn't make you French, Millikins.
At one point, the War Office also trained me for guerrilla detail for the French resistance in Toulouse. Espionage, explosives training, survival.
Oh, so you can defuse a croissant while disguised as a passing fern. Vous êtes trop cool.
Dodge, do you actually speak French?
What the arse do you call what I just did? Oh, come on, Millie. The PM simply needs one of us, I'm not saying the prettier, to pop over to Bush House, give his vocab a once-over and wave him on his way with a tinkety-tonk.
Have you heard the Prime Minister's French accent? De Gaulle said he had to learn English in order to understand it.
Millie, darling, we didn't build an empire on listening to foreigners.
Be that as it may, Dorothy, it's your turn.
I'm glad you never let life's unfair advantages hold you back, Millie. It's an inspiration to us all. But we only had one French speaker in our village, Monsieur Jacques Bumberclue, a frightfully gloom-ridden tutor who never appreciated my flair for punctuality. Plus which, he was on a slippery slope to alcoholism. As every lesson, he seemed to drink more. It was very French. I came from comparatively threadbare beginnings.
While I've laid out my stall of qualifications, you've opted to writhe in the gutter, pouring hot ladlefuls of crapulent self-pity over yourself.
Have not? Though in the end he did shoot himself. That was a gloomy afternoon. But again, very French.
Why don't you put it all in a tedious one-person show about the time you were sad and take it on a tour of the front line while I bugger off and do some work?
I say, you know people might treat you better if you were a jot nicer to them.
What do you mean, treat me better?
Well, you know, I suppose I mean Eden and Chequers and that whole big style.
Don't be wet, Dorothy. That was an accident. By Jove. That was you, wasn't it?
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about.
You were given the message from Anthony Eden. You were told I needn't have gone to Chequers. You knew I had orders to stay at my desk and you just sat there like a fungating cyst, waving me off.
No, no, no. I knew the meeting had been cancelled. I didn't know you had orders to remain at your desk.
I've had a fortnight's leave cancelled. Do you know what that means?
No romantic misunderstandings with a twinkly second cousin at Claridge's.
I very much hope to visit my brother in hospital while there's still time.
You fat twitch again. Are you welling up?
Don't. Every day of this beastly war, I have pushed myself beyond all limits. And do you know why?
For Britain?
No. Because even when I was swaddled as an infant, I was told what my life must become with words like pleasing and charming. But I've looked at it and thought petrifying, like being trapped in some ghastly claustrophobic picture book. So when war broke out and we were offered an opportunity, I decided there was no option but to make an astonishing success of it. And to hell with naysayers. And I'm not the only one, Dotty.
You're the only one jabbing a finger in my face.
But do you know what really takes the biscuit? Not even the men. Christ, I can liberate North Africa with one hand while changing Air Marshal Peabody's nappy with the other and checking officer background spelling homework with my arse. But you, Dorothy, every day, undermining me. The greatest opponent to my success today is someone else facing the exact same obstacles.
Oh, come on, Millie. It's not that bad.
What do you mean, it? Not it? You. You, specifically you, standing before me right now, trying to stifle a yawn. I never wanted to lower myself to your level, but I believe I hate you.
No, you don't.
I'm going to petition Air Marshal Peabody for your dismissal the moment I climb out of this pit.
Millicent, where are you going? Millie! I'm Dot. No one hates Dot. Well, I've definitely received fewer complaints year on year. Where are you going?
To find the air raid warden and get out while I've still... only 21 minutes to get there.
I'll beat you there somehow. I have a flair for punctuality. Of course, the tunnels. If I could just wriggle down there. Say, you.
Me?
No, not you. Someone less tenement blocky. You.
Me?
Yes, you, young troglodyte. Give me your hand and lower me onto the tracks.
Flipping eggs, you mentalist. The tracks are alive. You'll be burnt to a frazzle.
I'll have you know I... Flipping... What?
Eggs, boss.
Oh, hell's marmalade, it's you, Myrtle.
Of course it is. Who else would hover politely on the peripheries of your conversation trying to catch your eye?
I thought you were just someone having a stroke. Didn't I send you home with a tummy, Myrtle?
Yeah, but they do good bedtimes here.
What?
See that lady with the kids there?
Mm-hmm.
One of the top three bedtime story readers in London. A few of my sisters say Stepney Green, but I'm not into the theatrics. I don't mind a story about a naughty spider, but I don't need a toy spider chucked at me halfway through. Squealed, nearly shat myself, Dot.
You came back into the most dangerous part of London in case there was an air raid.
In case there was an air raid and a story? Why are you here?
I was to be special advisor to the Prime Minister. But instead, I fear I'm about to be permanently entombed in a custard made of me and a sizable tonnage of proletariat walrus, unless you know another way out.
You've heard about the ticket hall, then?
Yes, but Millicent presumably thinks she can leapfrog over the rubble and hotwire a bicycle while fending off the Luftwaffe with a hockey stick.
But that would kill us all. Wait, do you know about the ticket hall or not?
This is code red, Myrtle. Code red. Mr. Sands is on fire from the face up.
What?
Oh, it's you again.
Dotty, this is my Uncle Victor. Uncle Vic, don't worry, Dotty's one of us.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right, ladies, listen closely. As you know, there's an unexploded bomb sitting in the ticket hall directly above us.
A bomb?
Shh. Don't want anyone panicking. I locked it off. No one's any the wiser. But any falling debris up there, any sudden tremor, even a hamster's fart whistling past.
Oh, buttered arses. I suppose it won't help that Jerry will be dropping bombs on it for the next hour or so. Or that Millicent's presently skipping through the rubble on her way out.
Well, I locked it.
She's trained in espionage. She'll jim it in a second.
Oh, hell, hell, hell. You lot's like herding hamsters. You two, wait here. I'm going to need you.
Uncle Vic breeds hamsters.
I simply didn't think it would look like this.
What looked like what?
Nothing. I'm being silly, that's all.
I got a letter from my little brother Shedface the other day. From the African front. Look. Well, not a letter. Not so good with words. It's a picture.
Right.
That's little Shedface there, with his magic cape flying around, shooting all the bad guys. Pew, pew! He's not very good at doing corpses. But you can see the sun smiling, so that's... Yeah.
How old is he?
Well, he lied about his age, didn't he? Otherwise, I don't let you in, even with a magic cape. Just 15. Oh. Dot?
Yes, Myrtle?
You know Hitler?
Yes.
I know he's only doing his job and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all up for differences of opinion. But you sometimes just wonder if he's stopped and heard himself, you know. You can't just go around enslaving half the world, right? I mean, it's not fair, is it?
Well, quite.
We got there first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he stole the idea, didn't he?
No. The Reich and the Empire are without doubt, well, they're chalk and cheese. I mean, we'll have no more of that pinko talk, Myrtle. But no, naughty. Naughty Myrtle. Here. Take your brother's drawing.
No, it's all right. I don't need it. It was... When we was retaking Sidi Barani, they...
Oh, I'm sorry, Myrtle. At least the sun's smiling, eh?
We'll meet...
No, Myrtle, please. This evening is depressing enough without Vera Lynn.
But I love Vera Lynn. She's like a beautiful pony. Actually...
I do not look like Vera Lynn.
Whoa there, girl. Only round the muzzle. Everyone says so.
They do not.
They do behind your back.
Right, ladies. I found her just in time. There's always one little blighter trying to squeeze through the bars.
Hamsters again.
I'm back, Dorothy.
Good grief. It's like a Midsummer Night's Dream in here.
I'm glad to see you, Myrtle.
Dip, dip, dip.
The air raid warden has explained the situation. Needless to say, this takes immediate precedence over our little debacle, Dorothy.
Oh, what?
If we're to survive this, any one of us, we must move everybody up the platform, away from the gates and the ticket all behind, and we must do so with the utmost tact. If the masses know the truth, they'll panic. One presumes their tracks are still alive. We must execute extreme caution, team.
But we're already riddled. Look at us. We're arsed by Jowl. Plus which, we can't shift another 100 people at this end. These people are walruses. Great tobacco-yellow walruses squelching across each other and slamming tusks. And what if they should revolt? Don't quote me, but I've my beady eye on that cluster down there.
They're children.
Good God, they're the size of horses.
Dorothy.
Hello.
Focus.
Indeed.
We need to get them up here without arousing suspicion.
Quite. We don't need a stampede.
Can't we simply order them? I mean, we're us, and they're them.
Ideally, something that won't breed further antipathy.
I've got it. Tell them they've got to come up this end to register.
Register what, Murray?
Well, the war is so overwrought with Sisyphean administration, the most absurd commands often appear legitimate, if only due to their apparent arbitrariness and sheer inconvenience.
And that thought's your own, is it?
Nah, someone scratch it on the door in the loose.
Goodness gracious, Goblin, that's... Well, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself the new head of personnel this time tomorrow.
Oh, I ain't bowling for that. It's the day off.
Warden, if you allow me into the ticket hall, I can take a look at the device. Needless to say, I can't promise anything. Explosives were never my forte.
And PDQ, old bean, if this signal be all clear, and this lot don't understand why we won't let them out, it could be mayhem.
Right. I'll see you at the gate.
Very good. We'll slip away and you start bringing them up this way, girls.
Millie.
Ward.
Good luck, old brick.
Thank you, Dorothy. I'd like to apologise for saying some of the things I did.
I believe we both said things we didn't mean.
No, I stand by every word. Good God, I do. But I can't see the value in your knowing any of it. What good does that do either of us?
Oh.
But if we get through this, and if there's still time, in the spirit of, if nothing else, being the bigger woman, you, Dotty, ought to go ahead to the PM.
Gosh, thank you, old girl. You're not toying with me.
I give you my word. Now, where's the warden?
Follow your nose.
Ladies, wish me luck. I may be gone, as someone once said, some time.
Good luck, old girl.
Good luck.
Well, Myrtle... We've found ourselves baked into the middle of an enormous cake made of war, currently encased within by a thick icing of Luftwaffe. And sitting right on top of us, like the cherry, is an undetonated bomb.
I like cake.
Now I think we can both agree, old girl, seeing how all this has conspired to bring us together. War's a terrible thing. Ready?
Ready.
Right. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Even you, in the cap. Yes, I'm aware that's not a victory sign. Now, it's my job, as an official posted here by the War Rooms, to register you all. Of course, we all remember our favourite Bible story in which Mary and Jesus have to register in Bethlehem. They're not listening, Myrtle. We need to get their attention. Half of them are asleep.
You need to be more charismatic.
One can't be more charismatic, Myrtle. So, they had to pack their little donkey, didn't they?
Piss off!
That doesn't sound very baby Jesus to me. Listen, you vicious cluster of tit-witted savages. It's my job to collect the fetid rag-taggle bag of burps that are your names and put them on this... piece of paper. It's your job to stand in line like good little Morlocks and do as you're bloody told.
So be relieved.
I demand to know why you're gasping in awe, you slithering pug-nosed rotters.
I think he's doing it, you know.
Yeah, eight penny says it's her.
Tell me at once or I'll keep you all behind after the bomb. Glass blitz.
That's it, Dotty, they're coming.
Oh, I miss. Are you leaving in?
No, I bloody well not. Now get your crappy little paws off my skirt or I'll have you dipped in dung and fed to Myrtle.
She's got a voice of an angel.
Oh, sing for us, Miss Lynn, please. Sing for us.
No, piss off.
Don't see that lot. No one's moving, and it's going to get splatty down there. Can you hear the bombs?
Oh, all right. I am Vera Sodding Lynn.
Prove it. Go on, prove it. Sing us a song.
I would prefer not to. All right, very good. When the skies are grey and it's a rainy day, think of the birdies in spring. No request. All together now. When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like something, something. Oh, right, yes, brilliant. Thank you. Shut up. Great. I thought I was a god to you, but apparently I'm but another public servant. We'll meet again, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long.
Well, you did it, old bean. Service before self. I'm inspired.
Oh, tish and pish, dear heart. It was you who did the real work, with trembling hands in the ticket hall, deciding which jolly wire to cut, mopping beads of sweat from your brow. I just sang a silly old song.
Yes, you're right. It wasn't very inspiring, and on reflection, mine was probably the more interesting thread. But at least you were helpful, and that's a first.
Well, with a mere 16 minutes to reach Bush House, I think we may have both missed our opportunity to make the history books for tonight.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Vera, they say it's over for the night, so we're going for a drink. You can bring your goblin if you like.
Isn't it late?
Not when we turn up with Vera Bloomingly.
Oh, can we, Vera, can we?
Oh, well, in which case, huzzah! Last one under the table's a ghastly little crap. Sorry we couldn't invite you, Millicent. It's just I don't think Miss Lynn would have someone quite like you in her entourage. And we mustn't blow our cover.
Miss Lynn, I've had all the excitement I need for one night. Excuse me, Warden. It was Victor, wasn't it?
Yes, Mum.
That sound. Is there a train coming?
Yeah. They only stop for the raids.
Could you tell me how long it takes to reach Bush House, Hoban?
10-15 minutes.
Oh, you're very kind.
And thank you, by the way. Oh,
merci beaucoup.
In Dot by Ed Harris, Dot was played by Fenella Woolgar, Millicent by Jane Slavin, Myrtle by Kate O'Flynn, Peg by Freya Parker, Vic was played by Sean Murray, and Officer Background as himself. Other parts were played by John Lightbody, Ryan Whittle, and Lauren Cornelius. The director was Sasha Yevtushenko.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like...